Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, happy Wednesday.
Hey there. All right, tell me, what's up?
Well, there was a great report by the independent research team over at the South Carolina Policy Council about how small groups of state legislators called county legislative delegations appoint many, many powerful bureaucrats that affect our daily lives. And Terry, really struck me because so many of the issues that y'all talk about, that we talk about, are really controlled and affected by these state lawmakers at the county level. And, you know, for example, when we're talking about the curriculum in our schools, we're talking about what our kids are learning at public schools, at neighborhood schools. It's really controlled by the State Board of Education. And the folks that appoint and control the State Board of Education are state legislators, and they, you know, appoint these education board members by each county, right, in these county legislative delegations. And so when we talk about, you know, for example, critical race theory, Common Core curriculum, right, that are being taught in our schools, despite legislators coming up with budget provisos or, you know, bills that ban these things, really the decisions are made at the Board of Education, and the buck stops with state legislators because they appoint the members of the Board of Education, right? So the same goes for our roads. Really, you look at whether it's the SCDOT Commission, the folks that determine how and where our gas tax dollars get spent, all the way down to the local level, called the County Transportation Committee, or CTCs, that oversee like local roads, also appointed and controlled by state legislators in this county legislative delegation models. And that's why a lot of their buddies, a lot of their, you know, business partners get on these boards and commissions. Tara, same goes for our judges. I know we've talked a lot about judges. You know, in the last year and how they get appointed, magistrate judges, right? Like when you know, traffic court, right? Small claims courts, master and equity court, right? Foreclosure court. Those judges are all appointed by these state legislators at these county legislative delegations. So we were talking last week about how State Senator Scott Talley's law firm partner got appointed to the master in equity position over in Spartanburg County. Well, he got appointed, you know, that judge got appointed by that county legislative delegation. All the state legislators in Spartanburg County got together and approved and voted in Scott Talley, State Senator Scott Talley's law firm partner, to get that position. And the same goes, by the way, for our Board of Education, our Board of Elections, pardon me. Right. County boards of elections are all appointed by state legislators. So when you wrap all this up, Tara, you know, whether it's what our kids are learning in school, who controls our elections at the state and local level, who's controlling our judges, who's appointing our judges, right? And who is responsible for our state and local roads, it's a tremendous amount of power, but it really falls on these state legislators and at these county legislative delegation levels. And the sad part is here, the really sad part is that these appointments, again, to our election boards, to our state board of education, to the roads committees, these powerful appointments many times are done in secret. And in the case of Pickens County, and we know this only because an activist group up there met with their state senator, Rex Rice, and he told him, he said, they asked, why don't you make these appointments in public? Why can't we see it? Why can't we be a part of this appointment process? Why can't the public see how this happens? And Rex told him, bless his heart, he said, well, most of these appointments that we do are done over private emails. And so, Tara, that is a major, major problem. And we know that sunshine is always the best disinfectant. And that I would say that 90% of these problems, the public could get more involved. We could get a lot of our power back if these politicians, if these state legislators were forced to hold public meetings where they make these powerful appointments in front of us, so that we can participate not only in the vetting of these candidates for these powerful positions, for these, you know, the members to the Board of Elections or the Board of Education, right? But to hold the legislators accountable for the decisions and the appointments that they do make already. And again, that doesn't really happen. Greenville County holds a legislative delegation meeting every quarter. So does Spartanburg. But Tara, they hold a lot of these meetings in private. They hold secret meetings. And we talked about that last week in Spartanburg, right, where, again, they wanted to appoint State Senator Scott Talley's law firm partner to that judgeship. And the public was watching. They were holding them accountable. And so they just said, you know what, we're just going to hold a secret meeting and do it behind closed doors in Columbia. We're not going to do it in Spartanburg. And that's a problem. And again, I go back, what is the ramifications of all this? Well, our kids are learning critical race theory and Common Core in public schools, right? There's doubt. There's very much doubt over how elections are run and how votes are counted. Our roads, of course, are crumbling or falling apart. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that absolute tragedy on Interstate 85 and those, what do they call them, concrete chutes or whatever they are, right? All of these things go back to your state legislators, and that's the way the system is set up. And the only way that we really can get our power back is we have to demand that they give it back to us. We have to force them to give it back to us. And I think the first step in that is they've got to hold these regular meetings in public. They've got to have these appointments done in public so that we can participate, so that we can vet these candidates. And by gosh, Tara, we can run for some of these offices and some of these, you know, bureaucratic positions so that we can control the outcomes of our election, you know, to make sure that the elections are run fairly, make sure that our schools aren't teaching these dangerous ideologies, to make sure our roads do get fixed. And if you want to start that process right now, if you want to demand answers from your legislators and you want to demand open public meetings from your state legislators, text the word DRAIN, D-R-A-I-N, to the number 52886 on your cell phone. DRAIN to 52886 on your cell phone. Get that conversation started. Start that process now. And if you're, especially, Tara, if you're in Pickens County, right, they're not holding these meetings in public. They continue, these legislators up there refuse to have these meetings where they're making these appointments in public. And we have to start that process. That's how we get our power back, is we force this transparency, we force the sunshine, we force these public open meetings where we get to see who these candidates are, we get to vet them, and we get to hold our legislators accountable for the decisions that they make.
Dave, you said something interesting. One of the key parts of doing this, I know as a former journalist, is FOIA. I used FOIA Weekly as a journalist to get information on what people were doing.
Right.
But you just said, you said something. You said they're allowed to use these legislators' private email for government business.
Yeah.
Is they're deciding who to appoint and how, and maybe, as we know how they do this, cutting deals with them. They don't have to use their public email, which, you know, it's government property. It's our business. They're doing our business. They can do it on private email.
Tara, you bring up a great point. Did you know that state legislators' public taxpayer-funded emails are not FOIA-able?
What?
Legislators exempted themselves from FOIAing their emails. That's right. Their email database, their email systems that we pay for, that they use. Yeah, guess what? You can't FOIA whatever they write over their state-funded emails. They are exempt from the FOIA law. Their emails are exempt from FOIA law. So when they make these appointments and they do these horse trades over their emails, taxpayer funded, there is no way that you can FOIA them. There's no way for the public to see them. It's part of the ethics law. They created that exemption for this exact purpose, I believe.
Wow. Sounds like, yeah. The odds are not ever in our favor as voters here in South Carolina.
This is the thing, right? Is this whole system needs to be ripped apart. These politicians, these legislators set up a system to where they have virtually, and I went through it, right? We're talking about our elections boards. We're talking about our roads. We're talking about our school board. We're talking about judges, for goodness sake, right? They have set up this system where they have virtually unlimited power. And they have the protection of secrecy in the law. And again, we do have power, right? The good news is this, Tara. They do react to public pressure.
They do. We've seen
and
that.
And we've seen it time and time again, right? And so, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. In Pickens County, a group of citizens got together and talked to their – demanded Rex Rice, the state senator up there, hey, Rex, you need to hold these county legislative delegation meetings. Now, they did hold a meeting last month, finally. They held a meeting. But they didn't do the appointments there. They didn't appoint the folks that were up for these boards and commissions. They didn't do that there. And that's really what they're working on now. But public pressure works. It's the only weapon we really have is when you put pressure on these legislators, they feel like if folks out there are clamoring and banging down their door for transparency, especially when it comes to making very powerful appointments like the Board of Elections, like the Board of Education, like the folks that oversee our roads, well, you know what? They're going to do it. And that's what we got to do. And again, you can start that process right now. Text the word DRAIN, as in drain the swamp, DRAIN, to the number 52886 on your cell phone. That'll send a direct message to your state legislators demanding they hold public meetings and public appointments at those meetings for these huge, powerful positions. Again, drain to the number 52886 on your cell phone.
Thank you so much, Dave Schwartz. Really appreciate you joining us this morning on 106.3 WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
By now, you've probably already seen it. If you haven't, you should go see it. It brought tears to my eyes. U.S. wrestler Tamira Mensah-Stuck, and not just the fact she won the gold medal, becoming the second U.S. woman overall to win the gold in wrestling, defeating Nigeria's Blessing Oberudu 4-1. She also became the first Black woman to win an Olympic wrestling gold for the United States. And it is just such an expression of joy that we so rarely see anymore in our country. She's Black. But what's really cool is, you know, she's at the event. She obviously knows she's just won. She gets her score. She sees it. She knows she's got the gold, right? They often do. And what is the first thing she does? She's got tears in her eyes. She's freaking out. This is her first Olympics. She grabs a flag. Without even thinking about it, she grabs a flag. She walks around, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's just going nuts. It was so great to see. It was so great to see. But I want to point out something about it. A lot of people are playing. Let me play this for you. But you got to watch it. You got to watch it. Just the love there for God, who she gives all the glory to, which I love, and also to her country. Take a listen.
Last question for you. That American flag around your shoulders looks pretty good. How does that feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it, and I'm so happy I get to represent USA! Love it. Well, just by the grace of God, I'm able to even move my feet. Like, I just leave it in his hands, and I pray that all the practice, that the hell that my freaking coaches put me through, pays off, and every single time it does.
What does this mean for the popularity of the sport and for all the young girls out there that are going to see you and feel inspiration?
It means that they see someone like themselves on that podium, someone like Helen on that podium, showing them just because you're a female, it doesn't mean you can't accomplish the biggest of goals. And being an Olympic champ is one of the hardest things I have ever done in my entire life.
There was something special about this that I want to point out. What she just did there was profoundly unselfish in a way you almost never see anymore. Because she wrapped herself in the flag immediately, because she didn't take a knee or diss anybody, because she had nothing but love and credit for God and her country and the wonder of being from this country, she's done. She's done. Had she instead made some sort of gesture, some kneeling, crossing, kind of hatred for her country, she'd be looking at endorsement deals. She would. She'd be looking at endorsement deals. She'd get invitations for the next 6 months to a year to all the right parties with all the right people. She could build on that network. She could get a book deal. The kind of book deals you get when you know all the right people. Probably an endorsement deal, like I say. She never will, because she just did that. So I want folks to understand what that just cost her. And there's like, you could probably put a dollar figure to it. If you look at what those get who diss their country, hate their country, trash their flag, turn their backs on a World War II veteran. And yes, the women's soccer team did that on purpose. It played so badly they denied it after, but they did it on purpose. As he played the anthem on the harmonica. That's how you get an endorsement deal. What she did is how you don't get an endorsement deal. What she did is how you damn yourself to obscurity. Never to be heard from again unless you happen to win another medal and then you get 24 hours of fame. That cost a lot. And yet she had such love in her heart for both God. They don't want to hear about God up there. That's offensive. But also her country, that she made it about her country. She'll never get those deals. She'll never be on one of those commercials that they like to play for young women where they find a liberal woman and hold her up as a model, a role model for young girls. But she's more of a role model for young girls than anybody on that stupid soccer team will ever be. Now, let's look at the hypocrisy on the other side of this. Because these athletes who profess such hate for their country on the international stage do one thing that I just can't get past. It's the same thing every time. You hate your country so much, you take a knee before you play, making sure to remember to dish your country, which sucks. But you play with your country's jersey on your back, you hypocrite. Leave. Go play for another country. Process takes a little over a year. Leave. If this place is nothing but one massive human rights atrocity, drop kick your jersey. Get it off your back. Make a decision. This place is either one rolling human rights atrocity that you are so ashamed of you need to diss it every time you're on the field representing your country, or it's not. And if it is, then shame on you for wearing the jersey. But they never do that, do they? Why do they wear the jersey? Oh, because, folks, all the major endorsement deals, the companies they come from are what? American. They're American. You can't go dish your country playing for, I don't know, Australia or something, New Zealand. I'll pick a country. You could go dish your country all you want playing for another country. You're not going to get an endorsement deal because you're not American. You got to hang on to the jersey, put it proudly on your back to get the endorsement deal. That's what they're angling for. All these people who do this kneeling and stuff, nobody would remember that. Nobody would be able to pick Megan Rapinoe out if she didn't diss the country. No one would know her name off the top of her head. She does it to get the endorsement deals. That's why their outrage stops at the jersey. That's why they wear the jersey of this horrid apartheid state that they claim it is. Just can't get the endorsement deals. You're not playing for America. It's about the Benjamins. But for her, it wasn't. And that cost her a lot of money. She's going to fade into obscurity after this. You won't see her face. You won't hear about her. She's not going to be on one of those commercials where they have all the other liberal women who know all the right people and say all the right things, giving testimonies about believing in yourself and what you can do. We're not going to hear from her again. She'll be working beside her mother in that food truck she says she wants to build and buy and build for her mother. That was the cost, and she gladly paid it for what she said, for that one day of glory and thanking God in her country. That was the cost, and she paid it. And to me, that's a real hero. You don't see a thing like that much anymore. And I'm glad that it still exists.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, just breaking on Fox News, something I actually suggested. It was bizarre. It wasn't going on. The Biden administration dumping COVID-positive illegal immigrants after Customs and Border Patrol found them COVID-positive, dumping them all over the place from Fort Bliss Air Force Base to hotels in cities across Texas near the border. Not giving one rip who they infect. Just don't care. And I said, look, they want to come to the country. They walked here. That's pretty extreme. Surely they'd be able to take a COVID jab to be released, and we're going to release them anyway in violation of the law. Tell them they got to go home if they don't take the COVID shot. No. No. No, COVID shots are for Americans who are too stupid to not pay taxes. Not for illegals. And you know why they haven't done this? I'll tell you why they haven't done it. And we just learned they could have done it all along. Because the White House is now saying they're studying the possibility, they're hoping to use the clear leverage they have to force these illegals to take COVID shots. You know why they didn't do it before? I'll tell you why. 2 weeks ago, Fox News reported that a third of illegals are refusing the shot. They offer it to them, but they don't make them take it. A third of illegals don't want it. They're like, no, I don't want that shot. They were afraid they wouldn't come if they knew they had to have a shot. That's why. That's why they're not vaccinating them. But now it's become embarrassing for Biden. He doesn't care who cares, who dies, or who gets infected, or who racks up major medical bills, or who has, you know, long-term injuries from getting COVID when they otherwise wouldn't have. They don't care. They're Democrats. So they're now, out of embarrassment, floating the idea of vaccinating them as a condition for release. I don't think it'll happen. Nah, because they don't want to stop the flow. I mean, if illegals know they've got to have a shot, might cut the flow down. Hey, they can't have that. But anyway, they just floated it. What a shame. Here's Tucker Carlson, a great monologue on what is going on the border right now. And he's talking to a Border Patrol agent who says, listen, if we don't stop the Democrats from breaking the law to let these people in, we're going to lose our country. I have been saying this for a long time.
Well, thanks to a man who recently retired after decades at ICE, a man called Thomas Feely, we are learning much more detail tonight about how the Joe Biden administration has enabled this, what you just saw on the screen. Thomas Feely was in charge of removal operations at ICE's Buffalo field office. He retired just this Saturday after 25 years with the agency. Here's part of his farewell email. Quote, with the current administration doing everything they can to cripple enforcement and removal operations, endangering the American public, and not enforcing the laws passed by the Congress, I don't want to be part of that. Thomas Feely joins us for his very first interview since leaving ICE after 25 years. Mr. Feely, thanks so much for coming on tonight. This could be a much longer conversation, and I hope that we'll have it. But sum up for our viewers, thank you for coming, if you would, why you left and what you saw in the last 6 months under this administration.
Well, there's a fine line, Tucker, between telling people we're not breaking the law and not enforcing it and being okay with that. What's going on right now on the border, like you mentioned, it's wide open. It's so bad right now that the Border Patrol isn't even processing illegal aliens, who many are COVID positive, I might add, and sending them into the interior of the United States with a phone number that they're supposed to call. And then ICE officials are supposed to reach out to them and process them over the phone and not even in person.
So it sounds like the federal government, the White House, the government of the United States of America is encouraging violations of the law. The government is encouraging foreign nationals to break our laws. That's what you're describing.
Yep.
It sounds like.
Right. And then, you know, some ICE officials will tell you, well, you know, the Biden administration isn't telling us to break the law, but they're definitely telling you not to enforce it. So, you know, if that's what you're going to split hairs on, we're pretty much screwed as a country going down this road.
Yeah, that's a distinction without a difference, absolutely, for sure. How quickly did this policy change after Joe Biden became president in January?
Pretty much the next day. What's happened now, and every administration that does this, I mean, they hire their own people. But with the Biden administration, I've never seen it before, where they went out and directly hired NGOs to come and be part of DHS and ICE. And I've got the emails where one NGO still out in the field contacts their buddy at headquarters and says, hey, we want this guy released, and they make it happen. They totally cut out the field office directors in the field, the law enforcement professionals. They're cutting us out, and they're letting people go that do not need to be released in the United States.
So just to be clear, an NGO, a non-governmental organization, is a nonprofit effectively subsidized by U.S. taxpayers, but they're not federal employees. Since when do people who don't work for the federal government get to make federal policy? Like, what?
Well, yeah, and here's an example. I had a case who the guy was a convicted arsonist, and they called me and said, hey, Mr. Feely, you know, one of our criteria is if the guy hasn't been arrested in the past 10 years, we need to let him go, and we'd like you to release them. And I say, you know, I said, I totally get what you're saying, but what you need to understand, he's been in prison for 12 years. That's why he hasn't been arrested. And the answer I got was, we don't really care. He hasn't been rearrested in 10 years, whether he was in prison currently or not. You need to release him. And I had to cut him loose.
Yeah. This is really sick. And I appreciate your bravery coming on tonight. Thomas Feely, after 25 years at ICE. I hope we see you again. Thank you.
It's absolute rolling lawlessness. Yep. An arsonist who's been in prison for the last 12 years. Fabulous. But it votes Democrat. Let him go. Let him go. Let him join all the other arsonists in Antifa. They burn things down. Nobody cares. It's fun. Let's jump on the line with John in Gray Court. John, thank you so much for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm glad you put me on. Yeah, I heard Jeff Duncan's interview yesterday where he said that Biden was a complete failure. No, Biden has been an incredible success, and that's the problem. He's moved his agenda forward at breakneck speed. They're trying to get as much done as they can. They may know that the end is in sight, but you look, he's got a legislative blank check, 2 million voters will come across the border, 2 million Democratic voters will come across the border this year, ensuring that COVID will spread. Gas prices are up twice. He's undermined our energy independence. The America First policy that he says he's going to put into place with this latest infrastructure bill, really, it's just it's caveated to death. What else? He's given China an incredible prominence in our country, and he's just been real. Everything he's wanted to do, he's done. He's done it by executive order. He's been very, very successful, but it's not good for the country.
You know, and you make a great point with that, John. And this is good for the Democrats in another way too. In that, look, you and I both know that he's not going to make it through an 8-year term physically, right? I mean, he's just not going to. So, yeah. I mean, they can have him do all the bad stuff, you know, pin it all to him, all the mud all over him, and they know he's going out the door. And then a new person will come in because they're not going to run Kamala. Her numbers are too bad. She's done. She may assume the presidency if he has to bow out earlier, but she's not going to run to replace him. If she does, she'll get squashed like the last time. Her numbers are awful. But they'll then present you with another person who will reject all of what Biden did and say, no, I wouldn't do all that. That was Biden. They will if they're elected. But you're right. They can cast all the bad stuff onto him, get all the nasty stuff that is election losing, and then he'll go out the door. So it's a win-win for them. I mean, it's very smart. And he seems to think he has to do whatever they tell him for whatever reason. He says that all the time. So they've got him completely in their control, however they do it. I mean, he tells us that constantly.
Mm-hmm. Who's pulling the strings, Tara? Who's running the show? It's not Biden.
No, clearly it's not Biden. No, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know specifically. A lot of people want to know that. But what has happened here is total continuation of the Barack Obama agenda and regime.
Yeah, on steroids.
Yeah. And I don't even think the American people realize the half of it. I really don't. How absolutely bad this is. John from Gray Court, thank you so much for your phone call. 800-347-1063. That's the Ingalls Markets talk line. By the way, I should emphasize this more. The Ingalls Markets talk line was down for a long time. It was barely functional, but I did almost a year, but I did get engineering to finally fix it. And so it is operational again. So I want to let people know you can call to comment. We don't put everybody on the air. You got to be on topic and you got to have something to say that I think is interesting. But you can call and you can get on the air. 800-347-1063. The days when the line was down are over. Okay, I want to hit this really quickly. People do not want to go back to the office. And I'm talking about those who are working. People who they do not want to go back to the office, and they'll do a lot to not have to go back to the office. Listen to this. 25% in this poll said they would take, people in this poll said they would take a 25% pay cut to keep working from home forever. 1 in 7 people. Yeah, I'll take a 25% pay cut. 39%, that's almost 40%, even in Common Core math, 39% would give up their health insurance to keep working at home. 53% would work 10 extra hours a week. 52% would give up Netflix. And listen to this. To keep working from home and not having to go back into the office, 34% would give up their right to vote. 55% say they'd give up social media for a year. So people really like working from home. They really want to stay working from home. You know, and you know what else is going to drive this too is all this COVID stuff. It's just going to get really sticky going into the office. It's going to be a mess. It's just so hard. So maybe that'll be the silver lining in the COVID, that you won't have to give anything up, that you could stay at home now. Another poll, and Americans catching on a little bit here. New poll asks, when will the pandemic end? 1 in 5 Americans say never. 20%. Oh, they don't even know, do they? Never. Yeah, this COVID's going to be with us forever. So as long as they want to weaponize it, they can. We will always have COVID cases. Now listen to this. 21% say the pandemic will never end. A delusional 10% think it's already over. It is not. Well, I mean, it's technically medically over, but it's not physically over. They're going to drive it as long as they can. And another 25% say they think it'll be over sometime next year. So 1 in 5 Americans, the COVID will never end. They must be talk radio listeners.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.